Welcome to A Side Order of Sleaze. My name is Andrew Jupe, and I am here alongside Steven Sadek and Eric Siska. Fellas.
Yeah.
Wow. Bringing the enthusiasm to A Side Order of Sleaze.
I don't know how excited I should be about this movie. I feel a little uncomfortable that I like it so much.
Yeah, it kind of makes you feel like a real scumbag. So before we get going, for the uninitiated, this is the third week in our What Does We Hate Movies Have to Offer You month. We had a live episode last week, and the week before that, we had a what we call WHM Prime. Now, A Side Order of Sleaze, Eric, would you explain to the good people what A Side Order of Sleaze is?
Well, there are movies that are a little darker and dirtier than we usually do on the main show, and we kind of don't do a whole episode on them. It's a little different of a feel, and you know, we're going to release these every once in a while on the app, which is only $2.
That's correct. The app and simultaneously the Bandcamp page.
Right.
WHMpodcast.bandcamp.com. So, yeah, we go through, we talk about the movie. We, of course, crack some jokes. We tell you what the movie's about. And then at the end, we decide the rating on what we call the sleazometer, one being a pretty tame, sleazy movie, and 10 probably being a snuff film. thankfully, we have not reached 10 in the, you know, handful of episodes we've done here.
I don't know if we ever will.
Well, I'm not watching a snuff movie unless it's like on accident.
Well, I didn't mean an actual snuff, but you know, there's some.
I got a line on this movie that Nicolas Cage is trying to sell me. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Some dirty old colonel made it.
This whole episode being on the regular app is kind of like that week when you're flipping through your cable package. You're like, holy shit, I get Stars. And you're like, oh, no, I don't. Yeah. Just like, oh, wait, no, I don't.
What are those preview weekends? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are bullshit. I fell for those all the time. I'm like, Dad, we finally got Showtime. No, we don't.
Shut up, fatso. Go play football.
But that's Showtime. Exactly. So the film in question is 1984's School Spirit. It's a Roger Corman produced picture. It's a college boob comedy, your classic, you know, slobs versus snobs college comedy with a paranormal twist.
It's kind of exciting to get a comedy on Side Order of Sleaze. I never thought we'd find one, but this one is hoo-wee. It's
pretty sleazy.
I've been watching a lot of Chopped, and this is kind of like, you know, the entree round. You get like, okay, college comedy. You get one little thing. You get like, okay, you know, snobs versus slobs. Ooh, I like that. And then one's like, ghosts. You get that last one. It's like, oh, he's going to really have to be creative to use the ghosts.
Oh, he's really going to have to dig into his bag of tricks to figure out how this ghost is going to come into play.
And then you also get dangerously close to rape scenarios.
Yeah, that's the last element.
And a bag of Doritos.
I mean, I guess I'd just swirl that in lightly. I probably, you know, you want the flavor to be present of potential rape, but you do not want to go full on with it.
Yeah, a potential rape reduction, probably. A nice sauce.
So the picture is about a fella named Billy Batson, who's not
Captain Marvel.
Not Captain Marvel, yes. We need to make that very clear. This is not a fucking Shazam movie.
I jumped down. I was like, oh my God, it's Shazam?
No. Oh, Shazam. Oh, no.
Is Shazam going to rape that girl?
Probably. So it's about not Shazam. He's a college student. He really wants to get laid. That's the whole thing of this movie, is this dude just wants to have sex. And one fateful night while he's out trying to get a condom, he dies in a car accident.
Right. He's getting a condom because he was about to have sex in the crusty old dean's office, because this is still firmly one of those college movies.
It's so, I mean, we were talking about this. Man, we just don't get these kinds of college movies anymore. Like, we get, like, I guess, like, Van Wilder was kind of a throwback, but, like, fucking National Lampoon is really just sort of ruined.
It's gone to softcore pornography. It just went over the deep end.
They just drove into the ground, you know?
Right into the ground. They couldn't even bother to pepper in any ghosts while they were at it.
That's the thing, is like, and this movie kind of succeeds in a way because it's able to find at least some of the balance between the TNA and the comedy with the, you know, the school comedy stuff, but, like, I feel like a lot of those National Lampoon straight to video movies are just like, they don't care about the comedy. I'll let you know a secret, folks. They don't care.
not paying the bills with yucks, I'll tell you that much.
But that's, I mean, it's true, though. Like, those movies you put on Naked Mile or whatever those American Pie ones are, that's, like, kind of the same thing.
It's all softcore pornography.
And it's like, yeah, like, you know, oh my God, lesbos! Or like, oh my God, she's sucking his dick! And like, those are the things that replace the kind of, and you know, this movie aside, because there's really weird ghost rape stuff in this movie, but these 80s college movies and these like late 70s college movies had that, like, it really was shenanigans. And there's a difference between like, panty raid and like, are you asleep? There's a big difference. And like, these 21st century direct-to-DVD boob comedies are way more on the side of, are you asleep? Than, you know, running into the girls' locker room or like, oh no, he's put a bucket of cold water in the shower.
Yeah, that's fine. Those are shenanigans. This movie gets down. This is like, this guy's kind of like Ted Bundy. You know what I mean? It's
yes.
It's very uncomfortable. Like the methods he employs go in his corporeal form and his non-corporeal form. Just yeah, what he's willing to do to women.
So he was trying to have sex in that office. He goes to get the condom. He dies.
Right. He's looking at the condom while he's driving. He's like, yeah, I got the condom. And he's like staring at it, like trying to read the directions.
Like, eyes on the road, buddy. If you want to fucking use this later.
By the way, he's put out to get a condom, okay? Oh, God, she's asking for a condom. Well, what do you know? I don't have a condom.
He does the biggest, like, bullshit runaround excuse, too, because she's like, what do you mean you don't have a condom? And he's like, well, why would I bring a condom? Then you'd think that I was being presumptuous about what's going to go on here. This is a much more organic, magical, romantic experience. And she's like, wrap that dick up.
Yeah, if I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to make a little less of it. I want to make a C-minus mistake, not a full-on F.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is still like pre-ish the real AIDS epidemic, but even still,
it's getting in the streets now. It's breaking out a
well,
bit.
Well, also keep in mind, in addition to that, there's also things called babies.
Yeah, babies and crabs and
herpes, which this guy definitely must have had.
This guy's got so many STDs as it is. Like, I don't know why this chick's even with him in the first place.
Well, she's the snobby girl, like, you know, she wants to be, you know, the dean's, like, you know, second in command or whatever, and yeah. His whole thing is like, I'm going to get her because I'm like, I'm going to use my wily, shitty charms to get her.
Well, it's like, he's on this, like, he views college as an excuse for sexual conquest.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, he's looks upon the world and he's like, there are no more lands to conquer. Oh, wait, there's that nerdy chick that's kind of pretty. Let me try to get in on that. And, you know, it costs him his life. It costs him dearly.
Can we just say that this guy's 38 years old when this movie was filmed?
Yes. When this movie was filmed, the actor was indeed 38 years old.
And most of everyone else is, too.
Yeah, he's not 21 years old.
He's not. Kind of, but, you know, there are people that can pull that off. Like, you cast older, but they still look. I mean, this guy has like Joan Rivers crow's feet. He is really clearly a middle-aged man playing this like 20-year-old horn dog.
And today he's in the year 2013. He's actually considered a senior citizen. The actor is.
He's 65 years old. He retired to become a high school principal, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. He was run out of the business. The business.
Hey, it's that kid from School Spirit. Get out of this casting office, pervert.
Although he did have a small role in Batman Begins.
Oh, really?
As like a valet.
Oh, yes. Yeah. When Bruce Wayne goes to the hotel and he's like acting like a dickhead with like the two babes and they like go swimming in the fountain or whatever. I mean, that's the only scene of the valet, so he's got to be in there somewhere.
I assume he's in there.
Have to look it up. The only actual actor in this movie is Larry Linville, RIP. He played Major Burns on MASH. Pretty funny guy. You know, the Major Burns character was kind of like a stick in the mud. Not surprisingly, he's playing the stick in the mud, crusty old college president in this movie.
Here's a question. Nudity can't be in scripts. So I think when you get this script, it's like, oh, I'm just the dean in Animal House, or I'm just the dean in Revenge of the Nerds. I could do that. And then it's just like, well, why is that lady naked? Why is that lady? Oh,
I mean, they must write something. I mean, they might not talk about, I don't know. They must say, like, and then a nude girl.
Well, I would wager, you know, all the scenes that Larry Linville's in, I mean, there's not really boobs going around.
Yeah.
So maybe if you're your Larry Linville's or your Dean Wormer, I can't remember that actor's name, but like, if you're one of those dudes, maybe you're just this guy who's like, you know what, man? I'm only going to read the part that my agent highlights for me. I don't care what this movie's... Oh, what? He's a fucking ghost? That's great. I don't care. Do I have to be a ghost? I'll be a ghost. I don't care. That's how you probably get into these situations. Yeah. Like, you know, the agent's just like, Larry, listen, you know, it's a college comedy. It's going to be the next Porky's. I think, like, all of these people are sold on it's going to be the next Porky's. It's going to be the next Animal House or whatever. And it's just, not. It's school spirit.
You can't tell because they're a dime a dozen. They all look the same until you watch the movie.
So he croaks. And then the way this system works is a ghost you know comes to escort you to the afterlife.
Right.
And this is his Uncle Pete.
Uncle Pinky.
Uncle Pinky. Yeah. Okay.
There's a big difference.
Now, is that name, what is that name from? That can't be on his birth certificate,
it's
right?
It's probably because when I snuck into your bedroom, there's only one finger I needed.
Yep, that's it.
That's the reason.
Whatever, it's totally feasible that this old man is a child molester. Don't look at me like that.
Well, I mean, like he says to Billy, like, don't you remember me? I'm your uncle. I assume it's like, I used to always be at your house until your mom told me not to come around anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, don't you remember me? No, I've burned you out of my brain. Forever.
Remember, I was excommunicated from the family. What?
And then the Catholic Church, but that's for another day. But
I've made some bad life choices.
And afterlife choices.
Yeah, so he's like his ghost liaison, you know. He's like, now listen, we got to get you to the afterlife. And he's like, but Uncle Pinky, you like fucking? That's what I'm trying to do is fuck this chick. And he's like, well, we got some time.
It's just, yeah, there's like a little bit of a lag, I guess, that you're allowed to just kind of hang out and do stuff.
Yeah, there's like a line in front of the pearly gates. Like, you're not going to get in there for a day or two anyway.
So you can he can manifest into human form when he wants to. He can go invisible and he can go translucent, but I guess translucent is kind of the same thing as invisible.
Yeah,
it's just to let us know that they're actually there and acting.
Yeah, the ghost politics, like the ghost physics in this movie are very bizarre, but apparently all he has to do is like waggle his hand on top of his head and he turns invisible. But the whole thing that makes no sense, and it's like, why are we even putting a paranormal element in this movie, is that he can become corporeal. Yep. He's holding drinks, he's sunbathing, he's trying to bang these chicks.
And not only that, it's like 89% of the movie is just him being a Chug-a-Lug House guy. You know what I mean? Like, he has some fun. He's like, oh my God, I'm a ghost. This is going to be a lot of fun, right, movie? And they're like, yeah, movie. And like, I don't know, like, it just drops. And it turns, he's just a dude.
They totally throw out the whole ghost thing. I think they were like writing this movie and they're like, well, wait a second. There's no possible way he can score if he's a ghost. What, we've really written ourselves into a corner here. Oh, wait. What if he flaps his hand above his head? Then he can turn into a person for some reason.
That, Melvin, is why word processors have backspace buttons. Click, click, click.
What's funny, though, is it's kind of the same physics as that shitty RIPD movie. In that movie, the ghost cops, like the RIPD, are able to become visible to humans, but they just look like different people. Like Jeff Bridges is like a hot chick or something like that, if I remember correctly. I mean, it's really stupid.
You remember correctly.
Yeah. Oh, I remember correctly. But it's that same kind of thing as like, we have ghosts in our movie, but we can't be bothered to have them actually be ghosts. So we're going to invent some dumb rule that makes them people so they can just function like people.
Question for the group.
Yes.
Better person, Kevin Bacon and Hollow Man or this guy?
Oh, this guy. Kevin Bacon's like raping people outright.
And he's
movie.
Trying to murder people. This guy, now, it seems like he's going to commit all these crimes against these women, but I guess he doesn't. I guess he just masturbates in the shower. Watching them.
Yeah, he ghost masturbates. Absolutely. He only goes after, initially, like the woman who's already given him the go-ahead to have sex. But this dude is like, listen, this chick gave me the go-ahead. I happened to die in a car accident. That doesn't, you know, invalidate this go-ahead.
That does invalidate the go-ahead. That's the end of it. That ticket expires right then and there, man.
No. Wait, why does it, though? So he dies in a car accident. But in this ghost world, he's able to come back and be a, like, full-bodied human, and she can touch him and feel him. Why does he have to come clean about being dead? Who cares?
All right, other situation. you get the go-ahead from somebody. Or somebody. Not even you, Andrew. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. John A. gets the go-ahead from a lady.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, she gets a phone call and a family member dies. And she's like, this is ending. I got to go to the funeral. You can't just show up at the funeral and be like, hey, the go-ahead's still going, right?
But that's
I'm still rock
different.
Hard.
That's completely different. One, apparently throughout this entire movie, they don't know that he's dead. They only find out, they only get word from the hospital 10 minutes before the movie's over with. And I don't even think that happens. I think it's he comes clean by the way, remember that car accident? I totally died. This is just he comes back hey, baby, I got that rubber. And she's like, no, it's morning now. I have class. And the rest of the movie, until he falls in love with this other woman, is just him pursuing this chick. She is, not hip to the situation. So therefore, she doesn't have any sense of loss, as if she's traveling to a funeral.
I see what you're saying.
I think if we had an official, the game is still on.
I think all go-aheads expire right then and there.
Does it matter that he's dead? Who cares?
This doesn't matter to anything. It's a bad movie.
Here's the thing. The go-ahead is a very limited window, okay?
Exactly.
And the next day, sure, you're allowed to attempt that, but you should be anticipating resistance.
You gotta get a new go-ahead every time.
Right. You have to work up to the new go-ahead.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what he does.
She's still in play, sure.
And flirting with her and whatnot. He doesn't... Because, listen, you made the comparison to Kevin Bacon. Guess what Kevin Bacon does in that movie?
Get over here!
That's what happens in that movie.
Oh, my God. Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he throws a harpoon rope at somebody.
No, here's the thing. Who would you rather be? Billy Batson or Hollow Man?
I'd rather be Scorpion.
No, because Scorpion's a fire skull.
Oh, you prefer Sub-Zero?
I prefer the cold weather to the hot.
They're all ghosts.
Hollow Man or this ghost that's trying to get some.
Oh, no, the ghost is the best of all worlds because you're a human being. You have all the ghost powers, and whenever you want, you just do the thing.
Just flip it on and
off.
Well,
here's the difference. Hollow Man's smart. This guy's dumb as a brick.
Yeah. Oh, do I have to be this clown? Absolutely not. I'd rather you shoot me in the head right now.
Well, I feel like wasn't that also part of the Hollow Man story, which is also part of the Invisible Man story, is the idea that being invisible drove him mad with this, godly
sense of
power. I
thought science drove him mad, mad with the desire for sex, because he spent his life with test tubes.
But he's still a scientist that looks like Kevin Bacon.
Yep, so he's never getting laid.
Man, how do you...
Speaking of skull faces...
I was going to say, speaking of RIPD, how do you not advertise that Kevin Bacon's the bad guy in that movie?
Yeah, he did the same thing with that First Class.
Oh, the X-Men movie. Yeah, no fucking hide nor hair Kevin Bacon in those previews.
And he's the best part of not the best part, but he's good in X-Men First Class.
Yeah,
he might be the best part of RIPD. I don't know.
He's most definitely the best part of RIPD. Second best part of RIPD, the voice Jeff Bridges uses, because it's fucking ridiculous. So this movie, another thing that's going on here is the campus celebrations that we have. And this is, again, kind of another standard thing. It's it's sort of spring fling, homecoming, whatever. In this movie, it's just Hog Day. The Hog Day celebrations that we have. Because you got to be a fucking pig the entire time.
You got to be a pig if you go to this school.
Mm-hmm. You just jerk off wherever you want to.
I guess that's what it is.
Welcome to fucking Eversley, where everyone jerks off once a year.
Is that the name of the college?
I just made that up.
It sounds pretty prestigious.
I think the
Eversley University.
I think the college is actually called School. And that's it. Welcome to School University.
Oh, Dad, did you print the script without changing the name back to the placeholder? Oh, fuck. Just said it.
Dude, you didn't change that character's name from Shazam? You left that shit?
This movie's going to die on the table. Oh, did you take out all those pages where he's a ghost?
No, you know what? Dude, let's just see if it happens, man. Let's just submit it. Let's just see if it happens.
Boys, here's $5 million. Make this movie happen. Oh, man, now we have to do it. There's also a weird side plot in this movie where some sort of French ambassador is donating a bunch of money to build some new business school or some shit.
And what's his face? Larry Linden.
Larry Linville.
Dean
Grimshaw is really sweating it because, like, you know, he needs this dedication.
Grimshaw!
Yeah.
He's an incompetent school president.
Oh, yeah, he's a blunderer, if there was ever a blunderer.
I mean, this movie, you know, there's no reason for us to go through it all the way. It's your standard college boob comedy. There's a bunch of shenanigans where the ghost is trying to get laid, but he's also... This is what's stupid about this movie, is carrying on his day-to-day college activities, such as being the, you know, president and ambassador to the campus for Hog Day.
Yeah, and Hog Day is a really big celebration, you know, where, again, anything can happen, such as jerking off wherever you feel like it.
That's it. That's Hog Day. That's all Hog Day is.
They've got, like, a lube slip and slide.
I mean, this is a sexed up college campus.
But the problem is, you're right, it's a college campus because, like, if you've got a party with a lube slide, it's at Barry's apartment. Yeah. Not at the student center. Yeah. You know, like, you can't just start throwing lube slides out there.
I think this might have been the dining hall.
This world kind of exists. It's kind of almost the Ghostbusters universe. Like, this is the same. Do you think the woman that gives Ray Stantz a blowjob is this kind of a ghost?
Yeah, probably, right? I mean, because she appears over the bed in more or less corporeal form. She's not as translucent as some of the specters in this film.
Mm-hmm.
But she is flying over the bed and has, like, wispy, you know, rags for clothes or whatever. But, you know, she blows him. That's all there.
Man. She died with a Dan Aykroyd fetish.
These horn dog ghosts. I think now, this might be more of a blame it on outer space thing, but I think incubuses.
Yep, incubi.
Yeah, they're like sex murder ghosts, right? They're like rape ghosts.
They sex you up and they kill you.
Wait, now you're thinking of a succubus.
I think it's the same thing. Succubus is women. Incubus are men.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Two sides of the same sexy coin.
Yeah, you're right, though. I think in this movie, Billy Batson is indeed an incubus. And the ghost that sucks off Dan Aykroyd is a succubus.
Can we talk about the most repugnant scene in the movie, which is...
In Ghostbusters? Because we were just talking about it.
Literally cap that one off. I will keep talking about that till the day I die. Till the day I become a blowjob ghost.
Well,
come on, you're a Slimer. So
yes,
am I.
You're looking at a trio of Slimers.
We so many hot dogs.
I'll tell you this, though. What I've always wanted to see more of, because that blowjob scene, what it is a whole deleted segment of the Ghostbusters script. Presumably they shot this. It's not on the deleted scenes of the DVD or anything, but it's a sequence where the Ghostbusters are called to this cabin on a case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why, I mean, it's just a random thing. Like, why are they out of New York City in this fucking cabin getting his dick sucked? It's because they got called out there. So it's probably, like, you know, Westchester, maybe somewhere on Long Island or something. Mm. And he's getting blown by this ghost. I want to see the Ghostbusters going on a haunted vacation. Haunted weekend.
It's a damn shame that third movie's not going to happen. That's what apparently it was all blowjobs.
Oh, man.
Really?
No.
I don't
cross the stream.
I don't need anyone telling me that Ghostbusters 3 is about to happen. Can we just put a cap on that? I've ranted about this before on this show, but can we please stop talking?
But would we even want it to happen? Like,
no.
Look what happened to Indiana Jones.
I know.
Look what happened to Star Wars.
Look what happened to Ghostbusters 2, everybody.
Yes.
That is one of, you know, Steve, our friendship has had a lot of highs. But the lowest low was when you explained to me that, in fact, Ghostbusters 2 is a bad movie. And I was like, you're crazy, Sadak. And then I went and watched it, and I was like, that son of a bitch is right.
Yeah, I mean, it's that nostalgia trip. Sometimes you get trapped up in it. But honestly, I think the opening of Ghostbusters 2 would have been a good idea for Ghostbusters 3. Because it's like, I feel like Ghostbusters 2, not enough time has passed for them to be reduced to doing children's birthday parties.
Yeah,
but
like
if they were doing
months.
A third movie, like 20 years later,
they'd
be washed up losers having to like redeem themselves.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a
You're
better
absolutely
way to
right.
go.
All right, so school
the most
screw.
Repugnant film moment of the film.
Yeah, sorry. So from 10 minutes ago, the most repugnant moment.
So, I mean... Uncle Pinky is like 10 steps behind Billy, who's just trying to, you know, Billy's chasing after this lady. And Uncle Pinky's like, oh, come on, Billy, the pearly gates are waiting for you. But he himself, being an old horn dog, side note, my least favorite trope in anything ever is an old horn dog that women find adorable.
So you hate every George Burns movie ever made?
Abso-fucking-lutely. And so he keeps getting all, like, sidestepped himself, and there's this awkward scene. It's like the Ghostbusters blowjob scene is why I thought of it. Because this woman's sleeping and this creepy old ghost starts touching her, feeling her up. Like, he's like The Conjuring. He's like biting her.
Yeah, he actually exposes her breasts and he starts to feel up her thigh. And then, oh no, it's my ghost boss!
Yes, that's right, everybody. He's interrupted by his ghost supervisor, who instructs him to go to... He's raiding like a sorority house, and he tells Uncle Pinky that he needs to get back downstairs because the house mother, played by Mrs. Seinfeld, the actress who played Mrs. Seinfeld, is about to die, so this dude's got to go hang out with her till she bites it, and he's like, oh, fine, and he huffs downstairs, and then the supervisor is like... Well, speaking of no one's looking, and then just, like, does up his shirt collar and walks into this sleeping woman's room.
Hey, thanks for warming her up for me.
It's terrifying. These fucking ghosts run a ghost train on her. It's disgusting.
Now, and this might answer a lot about Billy, I don't know, but when they are in their translucent ghost form or invisible, do these women feel their... advances or
you know they do she keeps like brushing him off.
Yeah, she's like no oh, it's cold, close the window.
So I mean, wow, that's really
I would wake
something.
Up and be like something is raping me right now. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what it is or how it is, but I'm being raped by now.
There is something inside of me right now and I'm trying to get up, but there seems to be 85 pounds in my way.
It's just repugnant and despicable.
I mean, between this movie and, like, Ghostbusters Blowjob Ghost, if it wasn't for Ghost with Patrick Swayze, I'd think most ghosts were rapists.
Yeah.
It's a weird ghost mentality.
He's a ghost monogamist, that Patrick Swayze.
He just wants to get back to Demi Moore and, you know, tell her he's gonna miss her.
Oh, you know what also is big? Ghost murderers.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts love to kill people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like those horror movies?
Yeah.
Forget about it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you know, those horror movies.
I mean, I don't even know what this... I mean, like, the movie goes on and it happens. I mean, really.
I mean, Hog Day happens. Here's the thing that we found out. Steve, your new favorite band is in this movie.
The Gleaming Spires.
They are a real band featuring a dude who later went on to be in Devo. It's fantastic. It's a new wave band. They're just... And this is something that doesn't really happen in movies anymore either, although it was featured in Grown Ups 2, but that movie's all made by people who loved the 80s, so it makes sense. But, like, real live bands just, like, playing a party, yep. Like, playing a college party or whatever. And these dudes were a real band, and they're just in this movie playing, and you can go and buy records. Like... I think that's a really interesting thing. Like, if you're a band, you know, it's kind of like when the Boston's were in Clueless, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, hey, be in this movie. You don't have to do anything. You're like Real Big Fish in Basketball. It's like, we'll put your face out here. Everyone's going to see this movie.
Oingo Boingo and Back to School.
Absolutely.
Or like Donna bringing Color Me Bad to the Peach Pit.
How's that 90210 rewatch going?
Oh, I've gotten to the intolerable parts after Luke Perry leaves because they killed his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that mafia hit. It's really good. And then he goes away and the show just kind of loses all its luster. And then they fill it with dead-faced people.
That show had no business bringing in the mafia, by the way.
No, not at all.
It's supposed to be about rowdy teens just trying to get by.
That show had no business talking about the LA riots.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody had something to say about the L.A. riots, Steve.
Something to say about something.
All right, so this movie comes to an end. It's the Hog Day celebration, and this is where, again, the ghost physics are so all over the place in this movie. So he has sex with the French girl. He tells all his friends that he's dead and he's a ghost, and they're like, no, you're kind of a liar. And he's like,
because
no,
he's
really,
been corporeal for at this point for an hour. Like, yeah, literally exactly. An hour.
Yeah, it's like, you haven't left my sight in a week. What the hell are you talking about?
He hangs up his ghost hat in the middle of the movie and just is a person.
So he shows them, it's the only way you're going to believe me. Okay, I'm going to dingle my fucking hand in front of my face, and oh, now I'm invisible. And they're like, kind of sad, but not really, because they're all idiots.
Yep.
And so he goes and has sex, and then it's like, all right, that's the end of that. The daughter of the French millionaire declares, like, the one stipulation for donating the money is that Hog Day has to become a school-wide holiday where they get it off, and every year there's going to be a big party celebrated at the dean's house, and they just have a big party. And then this is where the ghost shit comes in again. You're like, oh yeah, he's a ghost, right?
I got a question now. Yeah. Ghost sex.
Uh-huh.
Now, can you as a ghost, can you transfer sexually transmitted diseases, pregnancies, or is this just dead sperm? Or is it like non-existent sperm?
You're shooting blanks.
I don't even know. Like, I don't know what's going on inside this guy, to be quite honest with you. I don't know if he's got blood. I don't know if he's got semen. I don't know if he's got herpes.
The government needs to capture one of these ghosts and cut it open. Because if they can go corporeal so long.
Let's start with Uncle Pinky. Get him off the streets.
Yeah, totally. He needs to be in the containment unit, toot sweet. So there was ever a case for the Ghostbusters, because in those movies, except for when they're fighting Zool and Viggo the Carpathian, like the real bad dudes, right? Like, it's all like, oh no, the ghost is throwing a ball down the stairs. Like, what? It's like a lot of not that scary situations.
They're scary pranks.
Yeah, but if you've got like a ghost that's committing sex crimes,
yep.
The Ghostbusters have to prioritize that shit. That's a level 5. We got one, and it's really dangerous to society.
And so they put him in the containment unit. It's just like, oh, hey there, you look all green and pudgy. I like that. More pushing for the cushion. And it's like all these ghosts are trying to now get out of the containment unit because you put in this sex offender that's like trying to rape everybody.
Zool walks by. Ah, it's a lesbian. And he keeps walking.
Goes back to smoking his ghost cigar, by the way.
Least favorite fucking stereotype horny old man.
And they're all the same. Like, he's got a cigar. He's got that reporter hat.
The checkered jacket.
He's probably talking about horse racing in some fashion.
I can't. I got no fucking patience for it.
You're right. It is terrible.
If there's ever euthanasia, if Kevorkian was around, just light up a bunch of horny old men and just say, you know what, Grandpa, your time has passed.
How about a firing squad?
I'm fine with it.
Whoa.
Make horny ghosts out of all of them.
That'll really help Social Security.
Well, the great thing would be all those horny old men would have, if they were getting like the Kevorkian suicide machine, like they'd all have the same clever, like one last one liner. Mm. Talk about pushing off. They just die.
I'll be back as an incubus.
Death is but a window. Time a door. I'll be back.
That's too poetic for dementia.
Spontaneous combustion, woe is me.
Incubus.
So,
there it is.
Yeah, I figured you'd get that. Oh, well, fuck it.
So the uncle has to rush him to the pearly gates.
Oh, right. We got to go back to the hospital because that's where you died. Death, and that's where the fucking the portal's going to be.
Right.
Or whatever.
By the way, we haven't talked about this, but he dies in a car accident. Not a scratch on him. Not a dent.
Yeah, when he sits up on that table, he's just handsome 40-year-old Billy Batson.
It'd be great if he was trying to get laid missing an arm.
Exactly.
It's like a bloodied limb.
Like, it's like Beetlejuice, his face is hanging off or something. That's what I want.
I would love it if he died and then his ghost looked like when Alec Baldwin pulled his face out and he looks like Spy versus Spy.
Yep.
That's a challenge. Get laid like that, Billy Batson. I dare you. I double ghost dare you.
I can guarantee that could happen because you write in the script, you'd just be like, yeah, it's a really crazy Hog Day costume, right? Right? Because there's people with pig masks and Halloween costumes. There's a legitimate Blackula at Hog Day.
There is a Blackula at Hog Day.
I will say, more moral of a character, Uncle Pinky or Beetlejuice? I think Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice doesn't diddle anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, yes, Beetlejuice believes in marriage.
He does. He wants to marry Winona Ryder.
He believes in the sanctity of marriage. He believes clearly in alternative marriages because he believes in a fucking ghost demon marrying a fucking 16-year-old girl. But also, Beetlejuice is just a guy at the end of the day who loves a solid prank.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Beetlejuice is. He's not, you're right, he's not diddling anybody.
And he's also trying to provide a service that is good to his fellow dead.
Yeah, he's
good at his job,
adjusting to the afterlife and so on.
And like, oh, you want your house cleared out of the living? Like, I totally get that. You know, obviously, you want your own space. You're allowed to have your own apartment, right?
Yeah,
ghost rights,
ghost,
ghost civil rights movement that Beetlejuice led in 19 whatever.
I kind of always wanted a spinoff of the little ghost priest in Beetlejuice. He was my favorite character.
Oh, that little like alien thing.
He's like, dearly beloved, and he's like so tiny and amazing.
How many episodes of that Beetlejuice cartoon did you guys watch?
1.4. Like, really,
yeah,
nothing.
Not much.
Really, I've seen like probably all of it. I was obsessed with it. The more Beetlejuice, the better, man.
That's a movie that's a cartoon that just totally forgets that ending. It's like they're best pals and they live in a house. What?
Fuck it. Yeah. It's fine. We don't send him back to the sand hell or whatever. So speaking of sand hell, the end of this movie. So they're at the hospital. The pearly gates are there. And the fucking ghost supervisor is just like, well, I'm sorry, Pinky. You failed me again. And he's like, sorry, Billy. I guess it didn't work out this time. I did my best. See you never again.
And he keeps going like, sorry, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, oh my God, is he like damned? Did he just damn his own nephew? I'm like, this.
Because there's a white light there. You're thinking he's ascending to heaven. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry for what's about to happen to you. Like when that light is being extinguished, you're like, all right, Willie Lopez, here come the fucking black demon ghost things, like the shadow demons. You're dead, Willie. Like, here it comes. No, his punishment for futzing around on this plane of existence longer than he should have after his passing is to just go back in his body and be alive again.
He jumps up, he's alive, everyone's happy, and it's just like, I'm so sorry, Billy, I didn't tell you there's no such thing as hell.
So the other thing, by the way, is this whole movie we're like, all right, he's a ghost, he's dead, he's a dead person who's now a ghost. The hospital has apparently been keeping this corpse on life support the entire movie. Because he just sits up and he's got like an oxygen mask on. And he's like, where am I?
They declare him dead. They don't say, oh my God, you know, he's brain dead. Or like, he's in a deep coma. Like, oh, he's a fucking dead guy. Call it, nurse.
Yeah, they call it at the car accident scene. He's at the hospital. He's on the table.
I mean, he's perfectly fine. But yeah,
he should be in the morgue at this point.
But he's just in this hospital bed. He's got a gown on.
All of his friends run in. And they're like, yeah, way to cheat death, Billy. Woo!
It'd be great, though. It's like, I'm sorry, Billy. I'm so sorry. And he goes back in his body, and he's like, all right, I totally beat death. And then he starts walking around, and he slowly starts to decay.
Yes.
Oh, that would be awesome. Do you think that was like the actual ending, but they just did not have the budget for it? They're like, all right, we can't afford the effect of him crumbling to pieces, but you know what we can afford? Totally fun dance party montage over these credits. This dance party montage kind of makes the movie awesome, in a way.
It always makes a movie better. If you have, like, at the end of a raucous comedy, no matter what, if you do the title cards of each character, they each get their own little highlight.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like your movie better every time.
Absolutely, because it makes me forget all the dog shit that I was sitting through, and I'm like, all right, here's this Gleaming Spire
dedication
song. Yeah, we're rocking out to, like, 80s new wave, and everybody's just having a blast. Fuck it. The KY slide comes back. It's great.
It's a fun time.
Your movie goes from an F to an F plus. It's fantastic.
I would totally recommend this movie. Uh-huh. That might make me sound like an incubus, but I'm not.
Not yet, anyway.
soon enough. And you know, it's kind of fun. It's dumb. It's short. It's, you know, if you're looking for the whole like TNA comedy genre, that's what this is to a T. I don't think it's too sleazy besides the rapeometer, but I don't know. Three, two. I mean, it's dirty. There's dirty old men.
I'm not going to tell you you're rating it too low.
I'm looking to you.
No.
You're the gold standard. Of.
Now, Andrew, you're the real scumbag in the room. Yeah, no, I think that's totally fine rating it low, Steve.
I'd recommend it. It's a fun, goofy Porky's. You know, again, you have to know what you're in for. It's a Porky's. It's a Revenge of the Nerds. A little sleazier for sure. I would go so far as a 7 on the sleazometer.
Nice, all right.
Insofar as this is, I don't like the nudity in this movie is pretty softcore. You know what I mean? It's not like there's no like real actual sex scenes or anything like that.
There's nothing, no sex scenes. It's straight up boobs and
nothing below the belt.
You get a dude's. You see Billy Batson's butt a whole.
There
lot.
Is a distinct lack of consent in certain scenes.
Well, that's the problem. Here's the difference: is it's. If ever the movie says, you know what, Uncle Pinky, you're a monster and you're going to hell. This gets down to a 2 or a 1 on the sleazometer. But the fact that this movie just turns a blind eye to his shenanigans, Billy Batson is employing all sorts of like creepy rape tactics to get his women. Like he tricks this woman into his apartment. There's all sorts of creepiness going on. It's got to be a 7 for me.
Okay, I would recommend this movie. Again, like Steve said, you have to know what you're getting into. This is an 80s boob comedy right off the bat. Yes, there's also some extracurricular paranormal law-breaking going on. And for that, I'm going to split the difference and say a 5. Because all the Billy Batson stuff, I mean, it's the nature of the character. He's just a horn dog idiot, and that's what he's going to do. And I think there's a distinct difference between what that dude is doing and what the reprehensible Uncle Pinky ghost is doing. Because, yeah, that guy, they call him Pinky for a reason, and there's at no point where this dude's ghost or his soul or whatever is dragged to hell. It's totally stupid 80s boob comedy. So if you like those, this is a hidden Roger Corman gem that everyone's forgotten. It was directed by a guy named Alan Holub. Shockingly, this was the last film he ever directed.
R.I.P.D.
I don't think he's dead.
Well, he will be.
He just didn't get to direct other movies like R.I.P.D. I think he may have been in the running, though.
Or School Spirit 2-4.
Yeah, I didn't look up to see if this movie had any sequels, but I doubt it.
I really doubt it. If anyone knows, they can write into the mailbag. Let us know.
Yeah, there you go. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. That's going to put a cap on this episode of A Side Order of Sleaze. Again, this is a We Hate Movies sideshow that you'll be able to get more episodes of on our app and Bandcamp page, whichever you are so inclined to check out. If you want more information about the show, including how to get a hold of us, check out the website, whmpodcast.com. The show's got a Facebook page. The show also has a Twitter, @WHMPodcast. Like Eric said, write it in the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com.
Just to tease it a little bit, if you check out the app or the Bandcamp page, we actually do have another Side Order of Sleaze up there now on Truth or Dare, A Critical Madness.
Yes, that is Eric and I talking about a really disturbing, shitty slasher movie / psychopath movie from the 80s.
Yeah, and one of the Backstreet Boys is in it.
That's right, I forgot about that. So yes, check that out. Also, you know, like we said, the app and the Bandcamp page is where you also find the other side shows like WHM Live and WHM On Screen. So that's going to do it. We will see you next week when we kick off our Halloween spooktacular. My God, this year is just flying by. So until October, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.